proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? First Corinthians chapter 16. Beginning in verse 5, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient season." Look once again at verse 9. "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, I've entitled this message, "A Door Opened." You know, just the very thought of that I find very attractive. The Lord opening a door. If the Lord opens a door, I want to walk through it, don't you? What a blessing when the Lord opens a door. Now, I fear opening my own doors. As a matter of fact, I'm always afraid of that. I only want to walk through the door that He opens. You know, there are open doors, so to speak, that He did not open. It seems like an open door, but perhaps it is, but not a door that He opened. Well, how can you determine if He's opened a door? Well, any open door that'll take you away from hearing the gospel is not a door that He opened. Now, you can just count on that. Any open door that going through it would hurt you spiritually or is contrary to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ is not an open door from Him. It's a door that Satan has opened and not the Lord. And it's a test. You and I will be tested. You know, there's some doors to test us that we're not to go through. Now, he says in verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is open to me." You know, when the Lord opens a door, there are results. It is effectual. What Paul meant by that is people will be brought to a saving knowledge of Christ through this open door. Men and women will be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. "A great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries." When the Lord opens a door, that does not mean it will be smooth sailing. As a matter of fact, anything that's easy, you can pretty much bet something's wrong with it. He says there are many adversaries, many enemies of the gospel. Where will Satan be at work? Where will Satan be seeking to deceive? Where the truth is preached. He'd just leave everything else alone. He doesn't need to worry about it. It's where the gospel is preached. And the natural man is an adversary to the gospel. And he will do what he can do to hinder it. But thank God, when he opens the door, no man can shut it. Isn't that awesome to think about? And when he closes a door, no man can open it. Now, Paul prayed for these open doors to preach the gospel. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I'm in bond, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now he asked these people, pray that the Lord opens up a door for me to preach the gospel. And that's something that we're praying right now. We're asking the Lord to open up doors for us to preach the gospel. Because if he opens a door, something's going to happen. It's always effectual. It's always supernatural. It's always powerful. Now this opening of the door, so to speak, begins with the opening of the door of heaven. I just want us to think about this concept of God opening doors. And it's not just, well, he's going to open a door for me to get a job or do this or do that. That's really not what I'm talking about right now. You know, as far as that kind of stuff goes, I don't know how to tell you what you ought to do. Seek the Lord. Should I do this? Seek the Lord. That's the best advice I can give anybody. Seek the Lord. I don't know whether you ought to do it, whether you ought not do it. Seek the Lord. He'll make it known to you. But that's not really what I'm going to talk about as far as trying to figure out, should I go through this door or that door? This opening of the door that we're going to talk about begins with the opening of the door of heaven. When the Lord was baptized, we read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, that the heavens were opened. That's a powerful concept, isn't it? The heavens were opened. And a voice came from those heavens and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now because of this opening of the door of heaven and Christ dwelling among us, here's what happened as a result. Turn to Acts chapter 10. The way I prepared this message, I just got my concordance out and looked up the word open and opened and open door and see how the Lord uses this. Look here in Acts chapter 10. Now, heavens were opened when Christ came down. And that opened the way of heaven back to us. But look here in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 10. I got the wrong verse. Chapter 10. And he became very hungry. Peter, this is after he had fallen into a trance and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. Now, wouldn't you like to see heaven opened? He saw heaven opened. And what was it he saw when heaven was opened? Now, this is what happened because the heavens were open and Christ came down. This is what happened. He saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. When the heavens were open and he came down for this purpose, to cleanse his people. And that's exactly what he did. On Calvary's tree, he cleansed me. I'm clean. And what God has cleansed, don't you call common. I'm clean in God's sight through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's what our Lord accomplished by opening up heaven and coming down. He cleansed me. He cleansed me. He declared me to be clean because I am clean. Now, the only way I can understand that, because I look into my heart, it doesn't seem very clean. But because I'm united to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm one with him, I am clean. That's not pie in the sky, big talk. That's the truth. I am clean. Everybody Christ died for is clean. What God hath cleansed, has Christ cleansed you? Don't you call that common? Now, a door opened into heaven always has something to do with Christ as He is. I think of Stephen when the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. And when the heavens were opened to John in Revelation 4:1, he said, "The heavens were opened and a door was opened in heaven and I saw one sitting on a throne." When the heavens are opened, you see Christ as He is. And because of the opening of the door in heaven, there are doors that are opened upon the earth. We read in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, where God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. That's me. That's you. Because the heavens were opened and He came down and cleansed the people, the door of faith was opened to the Gentiles. Now, where does the opening of the door of faith begin? Well, you know, it begins with the opening of the mouth. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. You're there in Acts chapter 10. Turn to Acts chapter 8. It begins with the preaching of the gospel. I love this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure. He'd come to Jerusalem for to worship." He wanted to worship God. He knew God was worshipped in Jerusalem. He knew something about the Scriptures and the sacrifices and so on. He didn't know much, but he knew that's where he needed to go to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And I don't have any doubt that he was returning feeling just as empty as he was when he got there. He came there to worship and he thought, "I don't even know what worship is. I know the truth is in the Bible, but I don't know what it is." And he's going back home, frustrated, no doubt. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And you can see the Lord working on this man by his answer. How can I? Now, if you asked the average person, "Do you understand what you're reading?" They'd say, "Well, here's what I think it means. Here's what I think it means." But not this fellow. This fellow had been emptied out. The Lord had a purpose in this. And he said, "How can I? Except some man should guide me." What humility he demonstrated. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture which he read was this. Isaiah 53. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shear, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who should declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man?" How would you like for somebody to come up to you and ask you that question? Reading from Isaiah 53. That glorious passage of Scripture where we read, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Who is the prophet speaking of? Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth," the preaching of the gospel. "He opened his mouth at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus." You see, faith comes by hearing. "How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall He preach except He be sent?" Now, there was more going on than the opening of the preacher's mouth, though. We find the preacher opening his mouth and the Word of God coming out. But turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus." This is after our Lord had already risen from the dead. but they didn't know about it, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. They talked about the death of Christ. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, has not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ, was it not necessary for Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? If you would have read Isaiah 53, you'd know that. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Do you know every scripture is concerning him? Every single one of them. And if I don't see it, I might not see it, but I know the meaning anyway. I know the meaning of every scripture. Now, I might not be able to give you the details of it, but I know the meaning. Every scripture is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go and read verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him and said, abide with us. For it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. That's what happens when your eyes are opened. Look in this same chapter in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You see, when your eyes are opened, that means your understanding is open. And you're given an understanding of the scriptures. Now, every believer in this place, you've got an understanding of the scriptures. You might not know all the details, but you know this is about him. It's about his precious blood. It's about his grace. It's about his glorious righteousness. It's about faith in him. Every scripture is of him. And if you don't know the immediate meaning, you know the meaning anyway, don't you? Christ. Let's go on reading. Verse 45. Then opened he their understandings that they might understand the scriptures and said unto them, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now you see Christ when you understand the scriptures. And you understand the scriptures when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. You truly see this book is not a rule book. It's not a book about how to live, although you get all these things in them. This book is concerning him. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Has your understanding been opened? Now, I'm not asking you if you can give an exegesis of every verse of scripture in the Bible and give the proper... I'm not asking that, but do you really believe in your heart of hearts that this book is all about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's about his glory and about the salvation that's in him. Now, if you really believe that, that means God has opened your understanding that you might understand the scriptures. What a blessing to have your eyes open. You didn't see, but now you do. You see who God is. You see who you are. And you see that Christ himself is salvation. Now, opened eyes and an opened understanding come from an opened heart. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, what is meant by the heart? Whose heart the Lord opened? I want the Lord opening my heart, don't you? Whatever that means, that's exactly what I want to happen to me. I want the Lord to open my heart. Now, what is meant by the heart? Well, the heart in the Scriptures, it's not just, when we usually think of the heart, we think of what we feel and so on. And that's certainly included, but it means a whole lot more than that. The heart is the whole man. It's the understanding. It's the affections. It's the will. It's the whole man. And the Lord opened this woman's heart. You see, this woman's heart was closed. The natural man's heart is closed to God. It's closed to the truth. It's no good. It doesn't. We talk about the understanding, the affections and the will. The natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. No natural man can understand the gospel. He might be able to quote certain things that are true, but he doesn't have any true heart understanding of it. God hadn't taught him. He's incapable of understanding the gospel. A monkey can understand calculus quicker than a natural man can truly understand the gospel. That's just the way it is. We're dead in sins and the understanding's no good. The affection's no good. We hate what we ought to love. And we love what we ought to hate. But when God opens up the heart, the affections are changed. The will's changed. The natural man, he's not willing. He's not willing to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not willing to be saved by the grace of God. He's not willing to be saved God's way. But you know what? When God opens your heart, you're willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And let me tell you, I'm willing to be saved by Christ. I love that passage of Scripture where the Lord said to that one fellow, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he didn't really know what he's talking about. He said, "Well, how can I? You know, except some man." The Lord didn't say, "Are you able to be made whole?" He said, "Are you willing to be made whole?" Yes, I'm willing to be made whole. Now, that's what's meant by the heart. Whose heart the Lord opened. Now, this is what God looks at. Man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. That's why the wise man said in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now notice, the Lord opened her heart. Only the Lord can do this. And He can do it too. I've always thought of the way people talk about, you know, the heart's got a door that, you know, only you can open and let the Lord in. No. He knocks the door down and He comes in an irresistible, invincible grace, opening the heart. And I that's what I want Him to do to me. Lord, let Your grace reign in me. Open up my heart. Now, the Lord opens the heart of those He saves. Now, I want to try to give you some biblical words that will give us some understanding of what an opened heart is. First, an opened heart. It's a heart the Lord's opened. Don't you want that? I want that. I want to have a heart that the Lord's opened. I can't open it. Nobody else can open it. I'm totally dependent on Him to open it. But boy, I sure want Him to open it. I want the Lord to open my heart, whatever that means. Now, first of all, an opened heart is a new heart. He said, "A new heart also will I give thee." It's a heart that wasn't there before. You see, the opened heart is not the natural heart. That's just no good. It's no good. It's sinful. It's evil. It can't get any better. An opened heart is a new heart that He has given. "A new heart also will I give thee." It's something that was not there before. And this new heart is a broken heart.
A broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, one of the glorious things, there's so much glorious about the gospel, but one of the glorious things about the gospel, about the heart he gives, it's the only thing in the world that it's best state when it's broken. Now, what do we do with broken stuff? We throw it away. Mike said, give it to me. I just heard that. He does, but... He tries to fix it. But what do we do with broken stuff? We throw it away. It's no good. I mean, if it's broke, I don't want it. Yet God says, a broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A heart broken over sin. A heart broken knowing there's no way I can do anything to save myself. I can't work. I'm no good. I'm broke. I don't have a penny. I can't work. I'm broke. And yet the Scripture says, a broken heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's an open heart. A broken heart, broken over sin. It's called in the Scriptures a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's that heart David was asking for when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. It's a true heart. An open heart is a true heart. I like this scripture. Let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart. That means genuine. It means it's not a fake. It's not a phony. It's not a counterfeit. It's the real thing. That's a true heart. A true heart is a real sinner needing real mercy and real grace. Now that's the true heart. It's not a phony. I've been thinking about dissimulation. That's what we're going to be doing in Sunday school next week, where Peter dissimulated. It's talking about hypocrisy and acting and so on. And sometimes acting's good. If you're in a bad mood, act like you're not. I'd prefer it. I mean, fake it. I'm all for faking in that sense. You know, I mean, if you come in here and everybody act, well, what do I do to offend them? You might ruin somebody's day. Just fake it. I'm all for faking in that sense. The word hypocrite means actor, and be a good actor in that sense. But as far as phoniness, like phony piety and phony religiosity and phony phoniness, boy, there's plenty of it. Plenty of it. He said, let us draw near with a true heart, a real sinner. Now, I am that. I'm that. Thank God I can take that title myself. I'm a real sinner needing free grace. That's a true heart, not a phony heart, but a true heart. And then we read in Exodus 35:5 of a willing heart. A willing heart. And you know, I am, by the grace of God, I'm willing. You know, Paul put it this way. He said, to will is present with me. Now, how to perform that which is good, I find not, but by the grace of God, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to be saved His way. That's an open heart, a willing heart. It's called a right heart. Remember the words of Peter to Simon Magus, thy heart is not right in the sight of God because thou thoughtest the gift of God could be purchased. Oh no, I know the gift of God can't be purchased. By the grace of God, I know that. My heart's right in that sense. I know everything that I have from Him comes as a free gift. My faith is the gift of God. My willingness is the gift of God. My love for Him, and I do love Him. I adore the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him, and I know even the love I have of His gift. The love I have to you is His gift. It's His gift. That's a right heart. And then there's the believing heart. What Paul talked about in Romans chapter 10 when he says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why David said, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. It's the only one there is. Now, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the understanding, I understand that Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God. I understand that I don't have any righteousness and that He is my righteousness. Do you understand that? You believe it? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the understanding. But that means more than that. Not only do I understand this, as God is my witness, I love this. I love being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him giving me a new heart. I love salvation by grace. I love the gospel. I love how He saves. I love the new man that He's created. A new man created unto Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. I love this. Not only do I love this, I understand this, I love it, but remember the will. And this is so easy to me. This is so easy. Okay, you make a choice. Would you rather be saved by Christ's righteousness or your own? Which way do you choose? Doesn't take long to make that choice, does it? With the will, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, and what happened? Whose heart the Lord opened, and here's what happened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, when God opens somebody's heart, it's seen through Him opening their ears. Faith cometh by hearing. They hear the gospel. They hear. They understand. They believe. She attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, believer's baptism, the first act of obedience to Christ. When your heart is open, you're going to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be seen in confessing Him in baptism. She was baptized. And look what she did. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us. She had a humility about her. She didn't demand something. She besought us. She didn't think she had it coming. She besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, she's made faithful. You see, when God opens your heart, He's going to make you faithful. That means you believe and you can be believed. Everybody He opens their heart, He does this to. He makes them faithful. And she, if you judge me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Oh, she was importunate. She had to have this. And that's what happens when the Lord opens somebody's heart. Now, an open door. Heaven is opened. The door of faith is opened. Through the preaching of the gospel is preached. The preacher's mouth is opened. The understanding is opened to the scriptures. And the heart is opened. Now, do you feel as though perhaps the door's been closed to you? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. I've asked, and I didn't receive. Expect me to believe God's word or you? You didn't ask. You might have bargained. You might have tried to make some kind of payment about it, but you didn't ask. Because the Lord says everybody that asks receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. I've been seeking the Lord so long, but I haven't found him. No, you haven't. Don't believe it for a second. If you seek, you will find. I never will forget somebody telling me, I've been seeking the Lord for 20 years. And I thought, that's too long. That's too long. You wasn't really seeking. If you seek, you will find. And look at this blessed promise. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If it's not opened, you haven't knocked. Time to start knocking. To everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. So, nobody here in this room has the excuse of saying, well, the door hadn't been opened to me. If you knock, I don't care who you are, if you knock, it shall be opened. Let's pray.